when there sometimes seems to be so much to be afraid of. 2 weeks ago, my sister-in-law was diagnosed with cancer, and I am afraid for her. I'm afraid of what this means. We fear sickness. We fear death. We fear these things for ourselves, and we fear them for our family members. My greatest fears are that something terrible might happen to my children or to Charlene. I try, whenever those kind of fears come to mind, I try to quickly kind of think about other things. But there are so many fears, big ones. Fear of climate change and what it might entail. Fear of terrorism, fear of criminal activity and violence. Fear of natural disaster. And smaller fears, smaller but no less real. Fear of job loss, fear of public speaking, fear of conflict, fear of change, fear of heights, fear of failure, fear of being alone. In the church world, we fear for the future of the church we love. We fear that things will change and the church won't be what it has been, or it won't be what we think it should be. Sometimes we even fear for our own or our children's or our friends' salvation. I remember this kind of fear being a big part of a church conflict that I was part of a number of years ago. And then our media and our politicians exacerbate our fears. I was listening to the radio last week when a commercial came on for a home security system. And they were saying, you know, you need this because there's so much to be afraid of. They benefit from our fears, and this commercial warned against the many dangers of not having a home security system. And this is perhaps more from the American system, but I think the gun lobby benefits from a similar kind of mindset. There are dangerous people out there, and they have guns, and you need to have a gun to protect yourself from them. There's so much danger out there, so much to be afraid of. Buy a gun, get a home security system. Then you will feel safe. Then you won't need to fear. I think politicians also play on our fears, fear of a collapsing economy, fear of newcomers or migrants or people that are different, fear of criminals. If you elect me, I'll crack down on crime. I'll slow immigration and I'll deal with refugee claimants and not allow terrorists into this country. I will save your jobs. Our fears grow. And fear can be a healthy and helpful emotion. If the car is rushing towards me, it's good for me to be afraid and get out of the way. We have the emotion of fear for a reason. It's part of our mechanism for staying alive. But when the fears get less immediate, then fear can be decidedly unhelpful. Fear is intended for that sudden danger. The adrenaline pumps. We move into the fight or flight mode. Our thinking becomes more limited. Our decision-making can become poorer. Our creativity disappears. I remember a church conflict I was part of when I was a younger adult, where our fears on all sides of the conflict led to just really unhelpful decision-making that was destructive to everyone involved. Fear really got in the way of us moving forward in constructive ways. Fear doesn't help us in church conflict or other kinds of conflict. In the midst of a world with so much fear in it, we hear Jesus' words again. Don't let your hearts be troubled. Don't let them be afraid. Really, Jesus? Really, don't be afraid? When there is so much to be afraid of? When fear and anxiety are so often part of our lives, don't be afraid. Jesus speaks these words, as I said, just before he goes out, just before the soldiers arrest him and the disciples scatter in fear. Jesus says them to the disciples just before his death. Don't be afraid. But they and we remain full of fear. Even after Jesus' resurrection, after Mary proclaims the resurrection to the disciples, they remain so full of fear. Jesus appears to them, so they know that he's been resurrected, and they appear to him as they're gathered behind locked doors, locked for fear of the Jews. And these words of Jesus, don't be afraid, are not so easy, even for those who knew him best. So how do we hear these words? How do we let go of our fear and our anxiety, especially when bad things happen, especially when things seem out of control? I don't think there's easy answers, but perhaps there's a clue in the words just before this. Jesus says, just before he says, don't be afraid, he says, peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. And then he says, I do not give to you as the world gives. So somehow connected with freedom from fear is peace, but not the peace of the world, not everything that we think of when we think of peace. Jesus is speaking at a time when peace was something that came from Rome, the Pax Romana, the peace of Rome, the Roman peace that was enforced by armies. Somehow that peace didn't lead to freedom from fear. Just as security systems, police forces, and large armies don't always lead to freedom from fear in our own time. Jesus is speaking of something different. My peace, he says. My peace. A gift from Jesus. Peace Jesus offers as he is about to be betrayed to violent death. Peace and freedom from fear. The peace that Jesus offers isn't the absence of violence. It isn't the absence of conflict. In fact, Jesus often upped the ante on conflict. He didn't shy away from conflict when it was needed. The peace from Jesus isn't about lack of conflict. And it isn't about everything going smoothly and well in life. It isn't about peace and prosperity. That's not the promise. There's something about the peace that Jesus offers that comes even when life is rocky, even when there's conflict and pain, even when the diagnosis is bad. Sometimes it comes unexpectedly in moments of fear and takes away that fear. Sometimes. And sometimes the gift of peace helps us speak words that need to be spoken, helps us face what can seem impossible to face, helps us bring that peace into places of conflict. Helps us work towards peace. The peace that Jesus gives has something to do with his ongoing presence with us, with trust in the goodness of God, with hope in the faithfulness of God. It comes when we realize and accept that we are not ultimately in control, when we open our hands to receive it, when we trust that the vision of God, that God's intentions for the world, that God's vision of justice and healing and right relationships ultimately will win out. David Lowes, who's a blogger, a pastor, a theologian, says it this way. This peace is a gift of God, something we sense most keenly when we give over to God a certain amount of control of all the things that we worry about. Not that we surrender responsibility, but rather that we recognize there are limits to what we can affect or achieve on our own. And sensing those limits, we place ourselves, our loved ones, our fortunes, and our future in God's hands. And God's response is to give us peace, a peace that allows us to lift our gaze from the troubles that beset us and see those around us as gifts of God worthy of our love and attention. Rick Morley is another blogger that I enjoy, and he writes this way about the peace that Jesus gives. He says, peace that bombs and storms and cancer and injustice and terrorists and dissidents and lobbyists and weapons of mass destruction and dark hairy beasts which go bump in the night, where none of these things which usher in the valley of the shadow of death, none of them can usher in even an ounce of fear. Because there's no oxygen for fear to breathe, no room for fear to move, no water for fear to swim in. Because the peace of Jesus has soaked us to the bone and nothing can wring it out. That's what Jesus brings. That's what Jesus brings to us, is what Rick Morley writes. Have you experienced that kind of peace? That kind of freedom from fear? Can you imagine it? Can you believe in it? Can you trust in the God who is standing right beside you, who's walking this work journey with you wherever it takes you? It's not an easy thing. After his resurrection, Jesus again offers the disciples peace when they're gathered in fear behind locked doors. Jesus appears among them and says to them, "Peace be with you." I want you this morning to hear those words from Jesus again. I want you to soak them in. I want you to feel the presence of God with you and the confidence that ultimately God's peace will win out. I want you to feel, even if just for a moment, the lack of fear and anxiety that can come only from God. For Jesus says to you, to each one of you, "Peace. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not let them be afraid." The peace of Christ be with each one of you. Amen. Number 100 in the Green Song Book in Sing the Journey, "Here I Am." This is another new one that also has this theme of Jesus standing right beside us and "Do not be afraid, here I am." The way this song flows is there's a refrain, a chorus that we sing through once, and then there are three verses written below. Those use the same words. So we'll sing the chorus through once. We'll sing each of those verses without the refrain following, and then we'll finish with the refrain one more time. So it'll be five times through altogether. We'll hear it one time before we sing. Let's stand. Beside you, here I am, do not be afraid. Here I am, waiting like a lover. I am here, here I am. Do not fear when the tempter calls you. Do not fear. We come to our time of sharing, sharing with each other, sharing with God our prayerful requests, our prayerful, the joys and concerns of our lives. I invite you, as the mic comes around, to share your name and share what's on your heart. What is our sharing this morning?
Barbara Martin is here, and I think we should be getting pretty fluent in our Swahili, because this is the second time in a couple of weeks that we have visitors from the time that we lived in Tanzania. So we're very delighted to have Don and Rachel Rensberger from Canandaigua, New York, visit us for several days. They were with MCC at the time that we were in Marangu, so we've had a wonderful time. So we're grateful for that.
Welcome here. Great to have you.
Walt Worthington, I think it's high time we as a congregation pray for our farmers, and not only our farmers, but all farmers in the area, so that we might pray that the rains would stop and that they might be able to get their crops in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. Thank you. Have a number of.
I would just like to add to that the farmers in our country don't all have our problems. Around my parents in Saskatchewan, it's extremely dry, and they're worried that there will be no crops there either.
A number of prayer requests in the bulletin as well, the people that we will pray for. As usual, we pray for neighboring congregations and MCEC congregations. Today we're praying for Wheatley Evangel Tabernacle and for the Lao Christian Evangelical Mennonite Church in Toronto. We also pray for the Uaga Mennonite Church in Burkina Faso, and some of their concerns are listed, and we will pray for those as well. We want to express our congratulations to Michael and Stephanie Santos on the birth of their son, Mason James. We want to celebrate that and pray for him. It's such a wonderful thing to have this baby born. Anna Conrad passed away this past week, and the funeral will be tomorrow at 11:30 a.m. The visitation is this afternoon at 4 to 7 at Reed's. We are still looking for some people to provide some baking for that. So if you're able to do that, please talk to Ruth Worthington. So we will include the Conrad family in our prayers this morning as well. We pray for Fred Newfold, who's also struggling with health issues, and Edward Ence, who's thyroid cancer has resurfaced, so we want to remember those who are experiencing poor health this morning. And we will pray also for our youth ministry here in the congregation. Let's bring all of these things to God in prayer. God of peace, you know how easy it is for us to sit here tethered to our darkness and fear. We get bound up by chains of mistrust. We dare not to hope, for so many times before we have been disappointed. So we sit here and wonder where you are. We are not unlike the disciples who wondered also, who feared. God, come to us in our fear. Flood us with your presence. Renew our confidence in you. Open our eyes to the good news of your eternal glory. Give to us visions of the time in which love and hope will reign. Grant us your peace. God of the Church, we pray for the Wheatley Evangel Tabernacle and their pastor, Dorman Pole. We pray for the Lao Christian Evangelical Mennonite Church of Toronto. Bless their ministry as they strive to be part of your mission in the world. We pray, too, for the Uaga Mennonite Church in Burkina Faso. We pray for security in a country that is unstable and where social unrest is growing. We pray for wisdom for the country's leaders in a difficult context. We pray for Dramani and Johanna, who were married on May 25th. And we ask for ongoing blessing on their marriage. We celebrate with Mike and Stephanie Santos on the birth of their son, Mason James Santos. We give thanks for who he is and who he is becoming. And we pray your blessing on that family. Comforting of God, God who offers peace, we pray for those who are grieving today. We remember all who are grieving Anna Conrad today. We pray for Edgar and Marianne, for Ben and Arlene, and for the whole family. May this be a good time of memories, even as they grieve her loss. We pray for those who are suffering from health issues, both physical and mental. Today we remember before you Fred Newfold and Edward Entz, and ask for your touch to be on them. God of the Church, we give thanks for the youth of our congregation and ask your blessing on each one of them as they continue to grow and ask questions and become who you intended them to be. We give you thanks for the youth part of Alicia's ministry here and ask that it bear much fruit. God, today we pray for the farmers, both those here where there's been too much rain and those in Saskatchewan where it's been so dry. We pray that the weather cooperates in both of those places. Pray for breaks in the rain that the farmers can get their crops in. God, we give you thanks for the presence of visitors among us, and we pray for John and Rachel and their time here. We ask your blessing on them. God, who offers peace, we bring to you all of our prayers, those spoken and those held deep within our hearts, as we pray in the strong name of Jesus. Amen. Our closing hymn is number 430. 430. God be with you till we meet again. Let's stand to sing this and for the benediction.
There was one announcement in our bulletin that I didn't highlight. today is a fish fry fundraising meal across the street at UMEI. And when you look at your watches, you'll find that we got you out of here in lots of time to go and sit and wait to be at the front of the line. The benediction is paraphrased from Ephesians 2. Remember that in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace. In his flesh, he has made us all one. He has broken down the dividing wall, that is the hostility between us. So go now to live out the reconciling grace of God. Go now in peace.